being here tonight. I'm one of those transplants that Brother Chappell was talking about. We're from Michigan originally, right around Livonia, out of Herbert Noe's church. We've been down south about 10 years. And I found out one thing since I've been down south, and I found out this, that God still lives in the north. North Carolina, that is. And these other fellas from Boaz, Alabama, and all that, they're just jealous because they ain't got what we got here in North Carolina. Amen. But we're about 100 miles from here. Got a church, Bridgeport Baptist Church, and the Lord's blessed us there. And we thank Brother Lackey and Brother Stoney for the opportunity to come tonight and to try to give you something from the Word of God. So if you take your Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Kings chapter 22, 1 Kings chapter 22, we'll try to bring you something briefly and let this other preacher get up last night. Boy, I tell you, that was good preaching, wasn't it? Heard some real good preaching last night. And I hope the Lord will speak to you here out of 1 Kings chapter 22 tonight. And I can't do it, but the Lord can. And we'll ask Him to do it. Let's read 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 1. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the 3rd year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth is in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Will thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. Now, Father, we ask you tonight to bless thy word, Father. Pray that it encourage somebody. Father, we pray tonight that you'd have exactly done what you want to have done. Father, I ask for a cleansing in the blood of the Lamb tonight, Father, that you'd wash me. Father, use me, Lord. You'll have to help me here, Father. And God, if it pleases that you would bless this message, God, that we might draw closer to thee. Father, that a backslider might come closer, someone lost might be coming to thee. God, that you'd encourage us to serve you in these last days. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, in this chapter here, I'd like to try to bring out some things that I see today that's in the world today. We're living in this Laodicean church age, and you know as well as I do that Laodicean means civil rights or people's rights. And today the church is there. It's the only thing that's got rights in the church is the people. And Jesus Christ on the outside of the church tonight, and he's knocking, trying to get in. And most churches don't want God in them. Why, if God came into most churches tonight, they'd have to give him a visitor's card to find out that he was there. And if God might come back tonight and take us out of here in the rapture, both churches Sunday morning would go on just like they did last Sunday morning. They don't want God. They don't want the things of God. They don't want the Word of God. All they want is a little club where they can go and feel good. Today, any old fornicator, any old adulterer, any old dope head, any old backer chewer, any old premarital sex person, any person not can go to most local churches and feel good when they leave because the preacher will not preach the Word of God. He wants to give them something for their souls. He don't want to preach the Word of God. People ain't getting right with God. They're getting farther away from God. Sitting home watching all those idiots on the television and thinking they're getting something from God. You ain't getting a thing unless you're in the place where God's at today. And our church is typified throughout the Bible. We know that as Eve's the type of the church, and Ruth, boy, what a blessing she is. And Abigail and all, and Rachel and all the way through the church, and They get over in Revelation chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, and we see there how the local church of God has degenerated into the apostate state that it's in tonight, where they don't want Jesus Christ. Some of you don't want God in your life tonight. Some of you aren't interested in hearing from God tonight. You're interested in a little song that'll thrill you, or a little testimony that'll thrill you. But if God would shake your soul tonight, it'd be worth coming tonight. And here in this place, I can't help but read in Revelation 2 and 3 where that once virtuous woman had walked hand in hand with God, and now Jesus Christ is on the outside pounding to get in. And honey, we don't want him. Someone said, God really came into the church house last week, Brother Jim. Burke County's full of churches like this. God came in last week and we didn't even preach. That ain't church. Come on now, help out a little bit. That ain't church, amen. Well, we just want to go and worship God. I know what you want. You want something to make you feel good. Instead of the Word of God, where it will uplift you and undergird you and build you up to serve Jesus Christ. Now, the church is the Laodiceans, that's what we're living in today. It professes orthodoxy and it's going directly into apostasy. It's a chameleon church. It runs with the hounds and runs with the hares and it gets mixed up with associations and fellowships and everything else, and God's walked right away from it. I wouldn't be in the Southern Baptist Convention if they paid me all the money in this world. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, associate yourselves together and I'll break you in pieces tonight. My grandma's old pastor, J. Frank North, would roll over in his grave tonight if we joined up with that ungodly association. Amen. A lot of people doing it today just to get a building, amen. They profess fundamentalism and they're going along with Rome. And that's right where we're at. Now, turn to 1 Timothy with me for a minute. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let me show you some characteristics of this Laodicean church people. People that's in your church and people that's in our church tonight. This is a description of the people in the last days before Christ comes back, the type of church members that most churches have. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 4. Very first off, he is proud. There's a bunch of them right there. They're proud. Pride is just destroying our church tonight. It's destroying your church tonight. Some of you spent more time at the mirror than you did on your knees before you come tonight. The church tonight is just full of pride. Look it up. It's hung on. It knows nothing, the Bible says. They know nothing. They're hung up on questions of strife. Most people today, they think because they believe the Bible that they're something special. And all they've done is associate themselves with the Mars Hill Club to hear something new or to tell something new. Instead of preach the Word of God, it's these sinners brought to God again. Let's find something deeper and better and more spiritual so we can be more big and more spiritual. It seems like we believe this book more. It ain't nothing to believe the King James Bible. God expects you to do that. He'll make you something because you believe the Bible. They're motivated by envy. They have corrupt minds. They're destitute of the truth. And then their mistake is they mistake gain for godliness. And God says to this church, you make me sick over there in Revelation chapter 3. We are marked by our tremendous assets and our material assets that we have, and we brag about our buses and we brag about our conversions. And today, in the Laodicean church, we begin to brag now how much money our churches give to missions. Oh, my church gave this, and I'm so good because I gained so much, and I believe in missions tonight, and we support missions. But God isn't interested in your bragging. God's interested in your giving, amen. That's where we're at. And God said over there in our Revelation 3, that church that I'm increased with goods and have need of nothing. But God Almighty said that you're wretched and you're miserable and you're poor and you're blind and you're naked. And the thing that holds the church down tonight is that we have too much money, and money has become our debt. And we don't trust God anymore, we trust the bank account. And we're wretched, poor, miserable, and blind. In the 1 Kings chapter 22, we see a picture of the people that are in the last church here. What's going on here is Ahab. He's the northern tribe, 10 northern tribes. He comes down to get the city of refuge, Ramoth Gilead. He comes down here to Jehoshaphat. He's got the two southern tribes. Jehoshaphat, the southern tribes here are still serving Jehovah. But Ahab and those 10 northern tribes have went and served Baal. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to get those things together. And that is exactly what's happening today. The prophets of Baal are trying to get the prophets of God to get together to go in one cause to fight a battle that God ain't 100 miles of. Amen. And this passage will show us where we're at. First of all, in verse 2, we see Jehoshaphat. He's a compromiser. He's a compromiser. The whole realm of Christianity tonight is filled with compromisers. Christians are compromisers. Preachers are compromisers. Teachers are compromisers. Listen, we dare not to surrender the Word of God or the principles for compromise for a position or a state in this world. God needs somebody to stand up and thus saith the Lord, like He's going to use Micaiah here. But the churches are full of compromisers. Some of you ain't what you are Monday morning, what you were Sunday morning and Sunday night. You get down to the job and you begin to compromise and you begin to get in with the people and fit in with the crowd. And when it's talking about the church and about God, you hide back because you're a compromiser. I know some preachers tonight, one crowd they'll preach one thing, one crowd they'll preach another. You know why? They're a compromiser. They won't preach the Word of God. Amen. Do you believe that? Well, then say amen, bless God. Amen. Listen. If heaven would fall, if we were to do right, let heaven fall, but let's do right. Amen. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, Jehoshaphat has experienced a revival in Israel. But he's backed up here with the wrong crowd. He's made the wrong move. He's backslidden to fellowship. That's what you have to do as a child of God. You got to backslide to fellowship with some of your kin. You got to backslide to fellowship with somebody that you like. You got to backslide and get out of the will of God to fellowship with people like Jehoshaphat's going to do here with Ahab. It's exactly what's going on. It's exactly what some of you's doing. Amen. And he's backslidden to the place where he's out of fellowship with God. And he's over there in 2 Chronicles 19, there's a man named Jehu. And Jehu came down there and told Jehoshaphat, he said, you ain't supposed to line up with the ungodly. You're supposed to go along with God and break off from that ungodly crowd. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, you read it, verse 2 and 3. Jehu comes down to that fast wheeling driver. He comes down and puts his finger in the face of Jehoshaphat. And he says, you better not hang up with Ahab. He says, you know what he did down there to Naboth? And you know what he did to Ezekiel? I mean, you know what he did to Elijah down there? And you better not hang up with that crowd. But for some reason, Christians like to hang up with the wrong crowd. Said, you better stay away from Ahab. You better not hang out with that ungodly crowd. Amen? The church is filled with compromisers. And the church tonight is filled with people that are compromising to the point of conformity. You conform in your dress. For some reason, people don't like people to preach on dress. Because they don't dress right, amen. They don't like a man to tell another woman that she shouldn't wear a pair of breeches or a pair of shorts or run around in a bathing suit and somebody. They don't want to hear it today in these last days. But the Bible ain't changed. It's still the same. It's still sin if you do it, amen. Yes, sir. Why, Sears and Roebuck or Belk's, they put a statue up in the window there, and they're selling something. And if it ain't for sale, take it out of the window, amen. People all wild. You let your kids dress like a bunch of idiots. You buy them $100 pair of tennis shoes, and then he ain't got enough sense, bless God, to tie them up, and he walks around with the thing flopping around like that. What kind of Christianity is that? What kind of godliness is that? That's for hell tonight, amen. Hair sticking this way, hair sticking that way. And mama's on the first shift and daddy's on the second shift. And the kids are sitting anywhere they want. And God ain't it. You're a compromiser. And you ain't right with God. Compromise, conformity. You men are just as bad. Shaving off your sideburns. That's the new thing today. You know what you're doing? You're shaving off your masculinity. That's right. Trying to look like a bisexual. A woman can't grow sideburns. So you're going to make it long in the back and cut it off up top of the ear and look like a faggot, amen. And if you got it like that, you probably got some tendencies tonight. So I don't like it. I know, but it's true, and you know it is. And you do it so you can run with both crowds because you're a compromiser. Yeah, just like Jehoshaphat, a compromiser. And he's a compromiser. Some of you preachers just as bad. Compromise is somebody to get a place to preach. You ain't fit to preach. Amen. Compromise has replaced courage in the pulpit. The compromiser. And that's marking our last days. Look at in verse 3. We got a professing Christian. That's Ahab. He's not really a Christian. He's just professing that he is. I believe not our churches are filled with him. We went door to door in Valdez, North Carolina, a town of about 3,600 people. Every door gave a gospel tract and a witness to, and everybody in Valdez is saved. Everybody in North Carolina is saved tonight. What a wonderful state we live in, where everybody's saved. They still got ABC stores and pornography stores, and they get mad when they preach on the street. I believe not. There might be some of you tonight that ain't saved. You ain't been washed. You've just been dumped. You ain't been saved. You've just been put on the church roll. And you're just a compromising person. Not only that, you're just a professing Christian. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Here he is. Ahab the prophet in verse 6. Look back over here in 1 Kings. Yeah. 1 Kings chapter 22. There he is, Ahab. He gets old Jehoshaphat to come down there. And old Jehoshaphat's a southern boy. He's from the Judah down there in Benjamin. So he comes down there and sees those priests there. What he sees is black hooded priests, Baalish priests. And old Jehoshaphat knew better than that. Old Jehoshaphat was down south. He knew what preaching was. He knew it wasn't up there tic-tac throwing, twiddling the beads. He knew it was straightforward, get right with God type stuff. And he said, hey, I'm in the wrong crowd. But I got to line up with this guy to get some position. Amen. The black hooded priests of Jezebel order. They weren't of Ahab, they was of Jezebel. Amen. And they, old Jehoshaphat, knew. He knew that they weren't Old Testament saints, bless God. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4 here. He said, and he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. While we all believe in the fundamentals of the faith, the devil believes that. The fundamentals of the faith ain't enough anymore. Everybody believes in the fundamentals. Oh, I went there and talked to a Presbyterian preacher. He's a walled-in sin. And his ancestors were burnt at the stake. But that man's a five-point terrorist. Can't tell you how to get to heaven. Can't tell you where he's going. But he believes in a virgin birth and a vicarious atonement of Christ. And the second coming, he's lost in a goose, just like some of you. Professing Christian. Professing Christian. So we're all the children of God, are we? All made of one blood, are we? It's okay for niggers to marry whites, is it? It ain't where I came from and it ain't where I live, amen. It ain't where God lives, it ain't where the devil lives, it ain't where you live, amen. It's wrong, it's always been wrong, and it's always going to be wrong, amen. Amen, you know I'm telling you the truth. Yes, sir. Fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man. I believe the Laodicean church is filled with unregenerated people that believe in God, that believe that God is God, and they believe that Mama and Papa bought the carpet, and since they did, old-time preacher 10 years ago, or 20, 30 years ago, was their great-great-uncle or great-great-grandpa, and he came through with the great revivals, and since he was a preacher, they're saved too. You ain't no more saved than the devil. Amen. Professing Christians. Now listen. I know that more people are going to heaven than Baptists. I believe the Bible didn't say every Baptist that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe it said whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If just Baptist was going, I wouldn't get there because I was a Catholic before I was saved. Now I'm a Baptist, and I'm an independent Baptist, amen. Got to watch that today, too, amen. Well, I'm a Baptist and believe the Bible. I hope you do, too. But here's old Jehoshaphat getting mixed up with the wrong crowd, amen. You listen to a preacher today on the radio, it's a psychiatric treatment. How are your values? How do you feel? Does this make you feel bad? Does the preaching make you have problems with your sin? They never say sin, it's always your disease. It's a sin, amen. I can't listen to those guys. They make me sick. Maybe you like them. I just can't listen to them. They make me sick. I know a lot of you might listen to them. Chuck Swindle and the rest of that crowd. I mean, they're so effeminate. Bless God, they probably got pink underwear with earrings and everything else. I just can't listen to that crowd. I want someone to put it across the plate at about 103 miles an hour so I can take a swing at it. Amen. Now listen, I know, like I said, there was just a Baptist ain't going. If they was, there wouldn't be a lot of you on your way. But if you're washed in the blood and got the new birth and became a new creature in Christ, because a possession is more than a profession, and you can cry a bucket of tears and you can get in line and take the preacher's hand, but unless you get underneath the fountain of the Lord Jesus Christ and get born again, you'll burn in hell. So we got a profession Christian here. We got a lot of them in our church. I had a lot. About a year and a half ago, we run over 100 folks. I made the mistake of having Jack Wood and Sonny Calvert and Rex Harrison. Now we run about 50. But there are 50 in Sunday morning Sunday school, 50 Sunday night, Sunday morning, 50 Wednesday night. You know what the rest of those people was? A bunch of adulterers, backer chewers, backer spitters, camel smokers, rock and roll listener to country western lizards, a bunch of ungodly crap that would fornicate on Saturday night and then come into church and try to sleep on Sunday morning. Hey, the new creature in Christ. Because the Bible said he chased every son whom he receiveth. And if you're about chastising, you're a bastard and not a son, the Bible said. You can live like hell, you ain't saved. Say, what are you, an Armenian? I told you I was a Baptist, bless God. But I'm going with the Bible. If you can live an ungodly life and God not beat the fire out of you, you probably ain't saved. We had a fellow the other, about a month and 2 months ago. He was coming to our church and he was ungodly. I found out that he was selling drugs. A creep is what he was. He was fornicating. And you know what that idiot did? He kept a-coming and kept a-coming. We went and talked to him. He wanted to join the church. I said, no way will you join the church. He'd crawl in about halfway through services, and he'd sit down in that seat, and that dum-dum took the Lord's Supper. He ain't alive no more. He died about a month and a half ago. And his gal friend came to church last Sunday morning because the Lord let her to come in and say that he died with a broken heart. That's what they're going to say about some of you tomorrow morning. He died of a broken heart. He was a professing Christian. Look at verse 23. We see a false prophet here. That's our last days. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. Lying prophets here. They're false prophets. That's what's in our days. There used to be three big denominations, the Baptists, the Presbyterians, and the Methodists. And those old folks, they won America to God. I don't care if they was as right as you are doctrinally, they still got people saved and got them underneath the blood. When you tell your old illustrations and your stories, it's moody and it's finny and it's Cartwright. You ain't got a whole lot of Baptists until you get into America with Obadiah Holmes and the rest of them. So when you get to bragging, you're bragging about the others. And they turned the church around. And about the turn of the century, German rationalism came in with evolution. And the social gospel of Horace Bushnell. And the world council of churches and all this new religious movement of Pentecostalism, it's of the devil, amen. Pentecostal movement is of the devil, and if you're in it, you're of the devil. Speaking in tongues in the New Testament is of the devil, amen. After Paul took off in Acts 28. Amen. And the Seventh-day Adventists and the Jehovah Witnesses and the Moonies and the Bible perverts and the Bible correctors came in to change this Bible every time. Now watch the marks in this chapter of a false prophet. Verse 11 and 12, they're run by their emotions. Here's this prophet. Ahab said, can I go out and fight? They said, yeah. They said, what's the sign? He grabs himself two little bull horns. And he gets those bull horns on. He starts running around like this. And he says, that's how you know you're going to push them just like that. They're run by their emotions. That's the great doctrine of the Laodicean church. I just feel it. I just feel it. How do you know that's the will of God? I just feel it. This fellow the other day, we had a fellow, and they got a church down by us, and if you go to our Bible Institute, you can't be a member of their church. Bible believer, you know. He'd been baiting this boy for about 2 years to come to his church. And what he offered him last week, he said, we'll give our church will pay for a free half hour on the radio every week if you come to the church house. He went to the church. Emotion. Run by emotion. Amen. Look back at verse 11. They say things that God didn't say. God didn't say that he was going to run them off. God didn't tell them to get those bull horns and run around. God didn't say that. That's a lie. God never told you about the prosperity plan. God never said he'd just get a little oil cap and put it on your head, or a prayer cloth, or touch the back of the radio, or kneel down in front of the television. He didn't ever tell you to do that. He told you to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost or the Word of God. Look at down in verse 23 and 25. A false prophet hates a real prophet. This prophet comes up there, and he looks at that Micaiah, and he takes his hand and slaps him right in the face. A false prophet hates a real prophet. Old Bob Jones Sr., or old Bob Jones III, and another fellow called old Billy Graham Jehoshaphat. And Billy Graham can't stand those fellows because he pulled their card on them. But a false prophet won't like a real prophet. He won't like him at all. Not only that, look at verse 24. They love to run with the government. A false prophet loves to run with the government. There they are right there. A false prophet will join up with the ungodly government. Like old Jonathan. You know what Jonathan's fault was? He was a warrior. Jonathan was tough. He was big. He was powerful, but he stayed with an ungodly association. His daddy. And he went down with it when his daddy went down. A false prophet. A false prophet. A false prophet. Then there's a real prophet, verse 26. There's Micaiah. He's a real man. And you talk about preachers. Old Jehoshaphat, according to verse 8, still knew what God's man sounded like. A couple of years ago, back down there in Judah, down there in Benjamin, where he came from, he probably went to church down there with Mamaw. Boy, she pulled him along down there and waddled down that aisle and set him down in the front row. And he used to hear that old preacher man get back and preach hell hot, heaven sweet, get right with God and sin instead. And old Jehoshaphat sat there all his days growing up and he became the king. And he still remembered how the real preaching sounded. And he gets down here in verse 8 there. He said, ain't there a real prophet in this place? Ain't there a real voice of God around here? He knew those Baalish prophets weren't God. He knew that Hail Mary and all that stuff wasn't God. He said, I want to hear something from God. And they said, you don't want to hear this fella. He'll get on you. You don't want to hear him. He said, all we got is the old country boy from Judea. And he's moved up north here, and he's against everything that moves. And he said, you won't like him. He said, he puts a deaf ear to human action. And he's a little soul conscious. And he hates the world. And he doesn't want to go along with the Rainbow Coalition and Jesse Jackson and all this ungodly stuff that's trying to take over our government. And he's patriotic. And he loves America. And he loves God. And he loves womanhood. And he loves teenagers. And you all listen to him. We want Baal. Here's the real prophet. You notice the real prophet's hated by the king. And he's hated by the religious crowd. That's what was the problem with Lester Roloff. That's the problem with Brother Herman Fountain down in Lutheran, Mississippi. Said he won't sign the paper. That's the problem with Levi Wisner and the fellow out in Nebraska. Because they won't go along with that ungodly government to do wrong. The king and the religious crowd hate him. You know why? He doesn't preach to please the people. A lot of that preaching going on today, folks. Someone said, let's preach and preach about heaven so we can shout. You got eternity to shout. But if you don't get right now, you ain't going to have as much to shout about. If you get right with God, you can shout all eternity. Why don't you just do right? Amen. And then he preaches, thus saith the Lord. Now the strange thing here is, when he says this, look at down here in verse, look at down here in this one, I'm trying to find the verse here, where he begins to speak, and he comes and inquires of him, and he said, go ahead, look at verse 28. Not verse 28, I'm looking for the verse where he said to go ahead and go fight him. I can't find it. Well, he goes down there, Ahab goes down there, and he said, Micaiah never said anything good to me. And he says to Micaiah, he says, hey, can I go down there and fight? And Micaiah says, yeah, go ahead and fight. And he says, praise the Lord, I can't believe it. He said something to me that he ain't never said. He said something good. But old Jehoshaphat knows God's word. And he said, he didn't say it right, Ahab. He said, what you mean? He said, he never said, thus saith the Lord. And he said, I heard those old preachers down south. And every time they got that big old finger pointed out at me, they said, thus saith the Lord. He said, you better inquire him again. He's the real prophet. And I went to school with the prophet, he said, under the preacher Elijah. Oh, Micaiah, did you study your Bible? And he said, he prophesied about your death, how the dogs will lick your blood. And he said, I'm going to prophesy at verse 8 to verse 28. He prophesied the same thing that Elijah prophesied. He's a real prophet. And then in verse 32, there's the enemy. That's in our churches today. Ahab's going to battle with a man named Ben-Hadad. He's the son of Hadad, who is the son of Ishmael, who is a type of the flesh. And that's what's running 90% of Christians, is the flesh. Motivated by the feelings and the emotions and how they feel instead of what God says. Have no idea where God's at. Amen. And this one Hadad had a son. His name was Ishmael. He's a type of the flesh. And that one let Ahab go to his finish. See, Ahab should have killed Ben-Hadad years ago. But he didn't do it. Just like Saul didn't kill Amalek. And the same thing's going to happen to you if you don't put that flesh down. When Ahab knew that he wouldn't die in this battle because Elijah said, you're going to die in Jezreel. He's 28 miles from Jezreel. He said, I can go to this battle. I ain't going to die. If the preacher's right, Elijah's right. He said it wasn't going to rain. It didn't rain. He called it to rain and it rained. He said, I ain't going to die. Let's go into the battle. He said, I'll go and I'll be okay. He said, because I got to die in Jezreel. He said, that old prophet there, that old preacher there is trying to scare me. Trying to tell me that I'm going to get in trouble by doing things wrong. Trying to tell me if I get out in a parked car with a boy, I'm going to get in trouble, but I know I can get by with that. Just trying to scare us. And so what he does in verse 30 and 34 and 35 is he disguises himself. That's what the flesh does. They change robes. Ahab takes Jehoshaphat's robe and Jehoshaphat takes Ahab's robe. That's what the flesh does. You disguise yourself to look good, look like a Christian, but deep inside you're not. I'm all for standards, but they cannot change a jealous heart. They can't change the inward worldliness. They can't change rebellious hearts. Now, I believe if you get inside and you get yourself cleaned up, you'll look like a Christian and talk like a Christian and go to places Christians go and clean out the house and get all the ungodliness out. But here, it didn't help them. They just changed, see. There's a costume change here. And that preacher said, just trying to scare me. Look at it, verse 30. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle, but put thou on thy robes. And the king Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. Look at verse 32. And it came to pass, and the captains of the chariots that saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, surely is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat cried out. That thing's out there to kill the king of Israel, Ahab, and they think Jehoshaphat's Ahab, and Jehoshaphat says, wait a minute, it ain't me! Hey, I'm not Ahab, I'm Jehoshaphat! But he was dressed like him, and he looked like him, and he smelled like him, and he was in his chariot with his clothes on, they thought it was him. So the army says, well, we'll just stop fighting. One fellow says, just one more venture. And he reaches down into that quill and pulls that bow, and he pulls back my venture, and he lets that arrow go. And that's the arrow of God over there in the book of Psalms, coming from the voice of Elijah 20 years ago. And that thing comes down and strikes him right through the shoulder. God's word's true. And you can't sin and get away with it. And that old chariot driver kicks those horses and says, let's go! He said, take me out of the battle, for I'm wounded. And that blood begins to flow. And that blood begins to pile up in that old chariot. And they ride back, and by the time they get to Jezreel, the blood's flowing out on the ground. And the dogs are there licking up the blood, just like God said to them. Comes to pass. It comes true. He looked like the king of Israel, old Jehoshaphat did, but he wasn't. He looked like a man like Ahab that rejected the word of God, but he wasn't. He looked like a man that believed in the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, but he wasn't. He looked like a man that was ungodly, but he wasn't. So God used three things in this chapter. He used His word. And then He used His true prophet. And then one thing else, he used the enemy to turn that government around. Ain't that something? He used the enemies to turn that government around. God's tried to do it with us. I spent 13 months in Vietnam, 1968, the Battle of Cây Sòn, 3rd Marine Division. 60,000 men dead throughout those years to try to turn America around. He throws Iran and Khoi Minh at us and everybody else.
Yeah.
Terrorism. Try to turn us around, but we won't turn around. So we're headed for destruction. One more thing about Jehoshaphat you need to learn, and I shut up. Verse 49. Seeing that he compromised at first, he compromises again in the end. Verse 49. Then said Hazael, the son of Ahab, unto Jehoshaphat, let my servants go with thy servants into the ships. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 35 through 37, he gets hooked up with the wrong crowd again because he wouldn't sell out to God. And once you compromise, it's a hard way back. And that is exactly where the church of Jesus Christ is at today. He's right there. False prophets, professing Christians, compromisers, true prophets, and the enemy coming in. Like a flow. Go ahead.
And hear my Savior calling.